Hello, hello. Welcome back to Central Point Podcast. This is episode 4. We made it to the end of this month. Well, it's the start of the last week of this month. But I am feeling a personal achievement of having the month's worth of episodes released. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. How are you guys doing? How are you doing? The first month of the year, you know, we start the year, you know, purposed in ourselves to do something, achieve something, start a habit maybe, want to be more consistent, all of these things. Then we get to the end of the month and we can be a little bit harsh on ourselves if we haven't been as consistent as we had hoped. And I want you to just let that go if that's you. Let it go. You're good. You're fine. If anything, just check in. Check in with yourself. Check in with the goals you set and the pace that you put on it. And maybe pour out a little more grace on yourself. And just rejig. Rejig. If that's you, if you are on track, congratulations. Praise God. God, keep going this final week of this first month. Finish out strong as we enter into the second month, and we will transition into another theme. All of it is still identity. Don't get it twisted. but each month I will be focusing in a certain area of identity. And so, yeah, this is the final episode in just establishing the importance of knowing who you are, right? Just a little recap. We started with Eve, knowing from the beginning, and then functioning outside of herself and, you know, the planet as we see it happened. Then we delighted in our brothers in the faith, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Yes, with That's Not My Name. Beautiful example of identity and knowing who you belong to and who you are. Then last week, Jesus, and how he stood on business and didn't succumb to the if question. Did you say if? Not over here, brother. Not over here, sister. You can move with that. And today, this, for me, is so potent. Like this for me, because we're gonna read this account over and over again. This episode is going to be mainly scripture reading, just absorbing Jesus in these moments, allowing ourselves to grasp the magnitude of the situation, the stakes, the pressure, the crunch of this time, this situation, this event, and how Jesus responded, or the lack of his response, as this episode is called Silence is Eloquent. What a God. What a God we serve. Now, I want to paint a picture. I want to go on a journey with this. I'm going to start in Acts, and then I'm going to go to the scripture in Acts that they received. Boom. And then we're going to go through the account. And I hope this makes sense. In my head, it flows, and I do hope it does flow and create a picture and allow you to just sit at the feet of Jesus. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus today. We're going to take our time with him in this. Because it is because of this that we are who we are. It is because of this moment. It is because of this choice that it is finished. It is because of this moment that we can cry out, Abba, Father, because Jesus told us, it is expedient for me to go. I feel like I'd be like, Mary, I don't want to let you go. Don't you leave. Don't you go nowhere. I feel like I'd hold on to him for dear life. But I just want to focus the lens so closely on Jesus's conduct during this time. So, firstly, starting in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and all the scriptures I'll be reading are from the New King James Version. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him. I just love what Holy Spirit can do. It reminds me of Elijah when he ran. It's like super speed. But back to the scripture. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning in this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now I want to turn to where that scripture is found. It's Isaiah 53, and it starts in the middle of verse 7, but I'm going to start at the top of verse 7. We know that these numbers were added later on, these, you know, the verse sections, the chapter numbers, all added extra. I just like that it, at the start of verse 7, it talks about not speaking again, so it just hammers it home, basically. So starting from the top of verse 7 in Isaiah 53, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." So now, shall we step into Philip's shoes for a moment? Shall we look and recount the Saviour in this moment? In this moment that Isaiah is prophesying of our Jesus, who determined to do as he was commanded, determined to walk out exactly what he was called to do. regardless of how painful, how humiliating, how degrading the entire thing was, despite he had poured out compassion, grace, and love for the past 3 years. And yet, he was very selective on when he spoke. So, as we join Philip talking about the good, good Jesus, I want to start in John 10. Once again, we're going to read a lot of scripture. But I do hope just hearing this and allowing your mind to settle on our Lord stirs within you what Holy Spirit intends. Truly. I'm going to read from verse 11 of John 10. And I'm going to read down to verse 18. So it's quite a few verses. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Wow. He had received word from the Father. He knew death was coming. And in the revealing of that, he positions himself as the good shepherd. He uses an analogy that they will completely understand, that they will resonate with. Understand, he is saying, my devotion to you. Understand my commitment to you. Hear my words. No one will take my life. I will lay it down. Now it's difficult because when we're in certain situations, we can forget what people say sometimes, like all the details, and we can start acting out a certain way and start panicking and all these things. I mean, Jesus said this has to happen. Peter at some point said, may it be far from you, and Jesus had to rebuke the devil. Not Peter, the devil. Sometimes things are said that we just don't understand. Sometimes we are commanded by the Lord directly, because this isn't a universal command. No, one Jesus, one command from the Father to his Son to lay down his life. there are things that we all adhere to, right? And then there is our personal walk with the Lord, where he speaks to us and he commands. And we have a choice. Listen. Have it sit within us and trust God with the results of it. Or don't listen. Doubt him. In a lot of cases, we doubt where we've heard the Lord. And we'll cover that in a future episode. Jesus says, verse 17 of John 10, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Okay, I now want to go and look at Jesus in the moments of this event unfolding. So Jesus knows what he must face. The Word made flesh, man, but God, a mystery that we cannot explain, we don't need to explain, we just need to believe it and go, okay, you are just amazing and good, right? And I want to read his prayer in the garden so we can just, again, sit in the magnitude of this, choice of our Lord. And this is Luke 22. I'm going to read from verse 42. And it starts with saying, and this is referring to Jesus, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. He is weak. This is not easy. Verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What type of intense prayer must you be positioning yourself for? Must you be speaking at this time to be in such a state? He knows who he is. He's very sure of what he has. And at this point, he goes right back to his Father and what the Father has told him to do. And it's sort of this moment of, if there is another way, let it be done. But not as I desire, not my will for this, but your will. So if we go down in that same chapter of Luke 22. What's happened beforehand is that Jesus is betrayed by Judas, and he's taken to the Sanhedrin. They've already mocked him. They've already beaten him. Peter has already denied him. All this has happened to him. So, reading from verse 66. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." It's a bit baffling for me. You've already beaten him and mocked him. This Christ that you here are desiring to meet, I don't think you'd treat him this way, but, you know. Continuing on in that verse. But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe." Pause. Imagine. the one you have been waiting for, the one you have been reading about, reading your prophecies about, excited for him to come. He has come and he has said, if I tell you, you will not believe. How heartbreaking. As someone who loves the Lord, right? As someone who loves Jesus and as someone who, as someone who loves Jesus, I can't imagine Jesus like saying to me and me questioning somehow, like, are you Jesus or something? Like, God forbid, you know? And then he says, if I tell you, you won't believe. How heartbreaking for the one who called them, saved them, loved them, chose them, made them. Continuing in verse 68, and if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you the Son of God? So he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his mouth. What further testimony do you need? You guys have said it yourself. What further testimony do you need? He just said he's the Son of God. He just said he is the Christ. Why are you not rejoicing? This is sad. This is sad. Because instead of looking for the hope of glory, the Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour, they were looking for an answer just to kill him. And Jesus cannot deny who he is. He will not deny himself. He will not do that. Let's read the same account, but in Matthew. I always like reading things in multiple gospels because like different details are there. Okay, so this is Matthew 26. I'm going to read from the end of verse 60 so we know who's speaking. But at last two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? And verse 63, but Jesus kept silent. The settled peace within him, I don't need to answer you on this matter. Continuing in verse 63, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. I'm going to continue on with Jesus' choice of response or lack of response. The next chapter, Matthew 27, reading from verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. How many times have we heard that, beloved? You have said it. It is as you said. Whatever you just said, you have rightly spoken. Verse 12, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? Verse 14, but he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. He has already said, yes, are you the king of the Jews? I am. and as king I will remain silent. Are you the Son of God? Ah, yeah. There is no more need of words past this point. It's brilliant. Now, in Luke, we find out that Pilate sends him to Herod because he finds out he's a Galilean. He's like, oh, that's not my jurisdiction. Yay. You, Herod, deal with him. So in Luke 23, again, Jesus makes his choices. Luke 23, and I'm going to read from verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus is not a performing monkey. Verse 10, and the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Can you see him? Jesus. Quiet. Silent. Speaking not a word as voices are raised in opposition, in accusation, spewing all sorts against his character, against his person, against who he is. 4. Standing sure in whom he is. 4. Being unmoved to use his power to save his life somehow, to surrender to man instead of to God, his Father. Okay, the final account of this that we're going to read is in John. And I know I'm going over this and over this again, but this is about identity. And as we looked at in the previous episode, Jesus opened up his mouth, right? When it came to the devil, Jesus opened up his mouth when it came to the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written. Here, he is silent. And he says, it is as you say. So John 19, I'll read from verse 5. So we have the picture here so we can see the visuals. Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Jesus knows full well that he is not in the hands of Pilate, that he is not in the hands of the scribes, of the Pharisees, of the chief priests. He is not in the hands of any of them. even though physically their hands are upon him, even though physically he is in their presence, even though physically he is bound, even though he has no physical way of escape, he knows. He is clear. I am the Son of God. I am the King of the Jews. And I am in the hands of the Father. And he has given me to you. What an anger to the soul. Silence is truly eloquence. It begs the question, who is this man? What manner of man is this? Does he not understand that his very life is on the line? What type of man doesn't even try to save his own life? Because his life was to save our lives. And it is such a beautiful truth, beloved, that this is your God, that he has gone to such an extent for you to live in this newness of life, for you to take hold of the abundant life. We read in John 10 earlier, as he's describing himself as the good shepherd, from verse 7, it says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Beloved, this is reality today. Now. As a child of God, as one who has taken hold of Jesus, as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep silent before its shearers, this is our God. Returning back to John 19, I really love the part of the sign they give to Jesus. Reading from verse 19. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Just so you all know, just so you can all read. Let there be no mistake questions and no ifs and the buts, right? Who this person is that is on this cross. Verse 21, therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. It's one of those moments where it's like, you came to me, remember? Right? With Pilate and the Jews here, you came to me, remember? You needed me to do this for you. Don't dictate to me who the man is that's up there. And Jesus's final words, which is what causes us such rejoicing, it is finished. Beloved, this is your Saviour. This is our example of love. The scripture just came to me. No greater love than this, than a man who lays down his life for a friend. Jesus has already done the ultimate version of this, the ultimate, the pinnacle, the top of the top, right? He has done it. any laying down of our lives on earth right now in this lifetime, whatever sacrifice God's called us to, whatever journey he has called us to, you can trust your Father, beloved. This is quite personal for me, just this example. But you don't have to explain yourself if God has called you to something that your sort of like immediate family or your like friends or your community or whatever it is, the people around you don't get. And it's not that my immediate family didn't get me and what I was doing, but it was more so when I was walking last year and making certain choices that God had told me to do, I was incredibly aware or concerned for the first time, might I add, of people's opinion on it. I really kept mulling over, what would they think? Will they get it? Will they trust that the Lord has said it? Will they see with eternal eyes and see that his ways are not our ways? And last year, I was very selective in who I was sharing how God was having me move. That's just discernment and wisdom, right? Discernment and wisdom. I was very selective because you do not want individuals speaking doubt or not speaking from faith at all on what God has said to you, of what God has called you to. And I remember a particular moment last year when I found myself explaining myself to somebody. And my friend was sitting opposite me. And she said after, she said, I just wanted to interrupt you and I just wanted to stop you from explaining yourself. You don't have to explain yourself. And I sat with her and I was like, you're right. I really was just like, it was just like pouring out of me, sort of like trying to justify that God had said this thing, that God had called me to this thing. And I'm like, what is that? What is this like self-protection that I'm trying to do? What is this self-preserving that I'm trying to do? What is this convincing you that I hear from the Lord? What is happening right now? But because what I was being asked at the time was so, it was just very different for me. And it was very much like a different direction that I'd ever, something I wouldn't have considered before, if I'm just being honest. I found myself not being silent. I found myself blah in that particular moment, just like blah, all these words topping about in my testimony and jumping forward and backwards, and you know, but the Lord said, you know, why am I trying to convince you for? What am I doing right now? Are you even called to walk with me in this journey? Are you even called to be a part of what I'm doing right now? Why am I explaining this to you? And I want to encourage you, beloved. There is a time to speak. Last episode, it is written. Get behind me, Satan. There is a time to speak and there is a time to be silent. There is a time for you to rest, beloved. Rest in what God has said. Rest in where he's calling you to. Rest. Be still and know that he is God. Rest. It speaks volume. I mean, think about moments where people really expect you to fly off the handle or something, or to respond to something, and you just do not, because the Spirit of Christ is in you. Not because you're like super amazing, you know, suddenly and you just like got this thing on lockdown, right? But because Jesus is super amazing and he's the one that's got this on lockdown, and he's the one that lives in you. It is his Spirit that is in you. And when what God has said is an absolute anchor for your soul, Holy Spirit will open your mouth when it needs to be opened. And Holy Spirit will keep your mouth shut and be like, don't worry about it. No, don't. It's okay. This doesn't require words right now. It requires you to walk out what I have said. It requires you to walk out what God has said. Jesus did not fight. He wasn't silent and swinging arms. He wasn't pow, pow in them. I don't need to answer you. Pow. right? No, no, he wasn't throwing fists. He wasn't running. He wasn't silent and running. I don't have to answer you. And also, I'm running in the opposite direction. No. He walked into exactly where they thought they were leading him. He already knew where he was going. So a scripture came to me and I wanted to find it because I want to ad lib it. I want to make sure I say it correctly. And it's taken from Hebrews 12 and it's verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, beloved, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy, beloved, your reconciliation, beloved, you saved and redeemed, beloved, him as the one shepherd of the one flock, beloved, for the joy, he remained silent. That is how precious you are. That is how valuable you are to the Lord. Oh, man. What love. As 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This was the focus. This was it. Centering in on Jesus and centering in on his choice to be silent so that he could fulfill what he was purposed for. Now I want to return to Acts 8. Remember, we are being Philip in this moment. And sharing of Jesus. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I celebrate my rebirth day every year. 23rd of February, 2008 was when I was baptized. If you follow me on social media, you see my happy rebirthday post for myself. It happens every year. I celebrate it. It's a big deal to me. Verse 37, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness up in here? Like, anyone rejoicing for this eunuch, our brother in the faith, after hearing the story of Jesus? Verse 38, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, rejoicing, beloved. Beloved, I don't know if you are baptized yet or not. I don't know if you have made the choice to say, hey, I rebuke the devil and his ways. I take hold of my Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And I declare that he is the Son of God. And I lay down this life. This life needs to be put to death. And I will walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are rejoicing in having done it and living out this life and staying grateful. I don't know if you don't think you are right. If you're out here going, I'm not perfect enough, I don't know enough, you need to know Jesus. Do you believe with all your heart that he is the Son of God? Do not delay. And if you're completely new to Christianity and this has just stirred you up, ooh, God bless you. I'm going to close, like I close with every episode, in prayer. I'm going to cover all areas of individuals who, whatever stage you are in your faith walk with the Lord. And I would just love everyone just to come into agreement, even if the part of the prayer isn't for you and doesn't apply to you, but you come into agreement with Holy Spirit over the individuals it does apply to, right? Can we just like come together in this and just agree and cover and just thank the Lord for his infinite mercy, grace, love, goodness. Yes. I'm gonna stop. I'm going to pray. Okay. Most kind and wonderful Father, what a wonder, what an absolute wonder it is to know Jesus, to have Jesus, to be known by Jesus. Thank you that we can read this account in multiple Gospels and get a view of the Saviour. That we can sit at your feet and take in the beauty of holiness. Father God, I want to bring to you those who don't know you so well yet. They've heard this episode and they've heard the account maybe for the first time about Jesus and how he carried himself during a terrible time. They may be considering you, Lord. They may be wavering. They're still unsure. Religion might not be a thing for them. They've heard a lot of things, and they might have heard a lot of things about Christians, dear Lord. But Father God, I ask that you give them an encounter with Jesus. That when they leave this episode, they ask for Jesus, that Jesus reveal himself to them. That they seek out him, his character, who he says he is. That there be a delighting as they discover why it is Shireen has so much joy and desires to speak about this Jesus. Father God, I want to pray about those who've been walking this walk for a bit and they still haven't made the decision to go into that watery grave. Lord, whatever is getting in the way, whatever doubts they have, whatever, if they haven't got a church just yet or a community that they can be, you know, in community with, that they can fellowship with, that they can get baptized by, Lord, I pray that you provide them the community, provide them the mentors, provide them the individuals who will hold their hands, dear Lord. I pray that they don't look to themselves in regards to this baptism, but they look to the Saviour, the perfect Saviour, that he has done it all. And if you believe and you want to take hold of that, then take hold of it. Why delay in the choice? Because when you go down, it isn't on you to somehow maintain a look of a Christian. It's not up to you to I don't know, it's not on you, it's on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will do it. Trust your God, beloved. Thank you, Father, for loving each and every one of these listeners, dear Lord. And I want to pray for those who have gone into the watery grave, who have been baptized, whatever age they did it, however long ago, however, whether it was yesterday or it doesn't matter. however long it was or has been since that point. Lord, I pray that their joy remains. And if it has gone somewhere, Father God, I pray in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Bring your children into your presence, dear Lord, and give them the spiritual fruit of joy. Let them delight in the reality of their life in you. Let it be a sure anchor to their soul. Let them be able to sing, I've got a new life. I've got a new life. If anyone asks me, what's the matter with you, my friend? Tell them that you are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. Jesus is mine. I've got a new life. Let praises rise, Father God. Thank you so much for our lives. Thank you so much for this first month of the year. Thank you for keeping us up to this point, and thank you for taking us through this week. There is no other name, and there is no other God. In Jesus' name, we praise, we thank, we ask. Amen. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you so much for sharing with me in this. I honestly, my favorite thing is to just talk about Jesus, think about Jesus, bask in his goodness. And I'm so grateful to be able to share. So by God's grace, I will see you next week, the first episode of month 2 of the year 2025. Let's go. I will see you then. God bless.